Hi all, welcome to the Core Integrity with Kat podcast. I'm about to interview Maz Valcorza, who is the author of Uncooked and The Naked Vegan. She also opened Sedona Kitchen in Sydney, which I've just completely mispronounced, Sedona Kitchen, which was Sydney's first organic vegan whole foods and raw foods eatery. I hope you enjoy the interview, and I'll give some links to Maz's website and social after we've spoken so that you can read a bit more about her. I've got about 10 questions, and I figure we'll probably go off on a bit of a tangent. So I'm just going to kick off with the first one, which is, tell me about when you first discovered yoga and the process of choosing to become vegan.
I first discovered yoga probably when I was in my early 20s, like maybe 20, and I was actually looking for different ways to get fit. And one of the videos that I came across on YouTube was this woman called Tara Stiles.
Mm.
And she was like a Ford model turned into a yogi, and she had these videos that were kind of really hard for me to do, even though I was running a lot and kind of lifting weights and stuff, because I was doing standard gym work then.
Yeah.
And that was my first, like, entry into yoga, although I definitely did not understand it was yoga. I did that by myself for about a year. Mm-hmm. Before I then went to my first yoga class near my parents' house, actually, while I was staying here for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And after my first class, I was like, wow, this is like really, really hard. And also it's kind of really weird. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of my first class, I was so taken aback by it and kind of weirded out by it that I decided to talk to the teacher after, and I said, you know, that was really hard, but that was awesome. Mm. And she said, you know, you should probably do teacher training, which was ridiculous. I was like, didn't really understand what I was doing. Mm. And she was like, and you can register into a beginner's course. And so I did. And it was an 8 weeks beginner's course. And by the end of that, I'd enrolled myself into teacher training. And that's how I found yoga. And it's relevant because yoga is how I found veganism.
Yeah.
So I had a friend that was vegan already, a few friends that were vegetarian. And I always thought, how do they live? And I would actually ask questions like that, like, what do you eat? Which I laugh at now. Mm-hmm. And they'd always just look at me like, what do you mean? What do we eat? Like, we eat food.
Yeah.
And then when I did yoga, one of the modules that we learned about is ahimsa, which means nonviolence, when we were doing the philosophy component of our course. And it really resonated with me. It was the first time that I really started to understand that the choices that I make every single day can contribute, mm-hmm. Or limit the happiness and freedom, you know, of all beings,
mm-hmm.
and myself as well. And I started to, I guess, ground into that connectedness and that oneness that yoga and lots of different other practices, but yoga can allow you to connect with in your life.
Yeah.
And from that moment, from that day, I just decided that I was not going to keep contributing to you know, the death and destruction of our planet and of other beings, mm-hmm. by my food choices. That was something that I felt like was an easy thing for me to address, mm-hmm. like right then and there. And that's how I became vegan.
And so from choosing to eat vegan to then opening Sedona Kitchen, was that an easy, natural process? Or, I mean, did you have sleepless nights? Did you doubt whether it would work or not?
No, the way that I started Sedona was a pretty funny story. I had, from that moment that I decided to go vegan, started making vegan food, realized that maybe vegan food in itself wasn't exactly healthy, and that there were healthier ways of eating vegan, and so I transitioned very quickly into raw vegan food.
Mm.
At that time, and because there wasn't very much around, you couldn't really buy anything anyway. You know, you couldn't even get green smoothies back then, whereas now, like, every cafe that wants to be trendy has a green smoothie, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy how convenient it is now. Yeah, when it was such a niche thing even a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and like 6.5 years ago, it was non-existent.
Mm.
And so I started developing recipes because I thought if I can do it, then at least I can share all of those recipes with other people to make it maybe easier for other people who are interested or who happen to come across my blog. And I was doing that for about a year, I think, year and a half, while I was working at my previous job in pharmaceutical sales and marketing. And I traveled the country a lot with my previous job, and I would be on a plane almost every day. Mm-hmm. And my partner at the time was like, you know, why don't you just do this? Because, like, you obviously love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, how are we ever going to, you know, make enough of an income to live, mm-hmm. let alone to move overseas and travel, which is what we had planned at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, yeah, whatever. He was, like, a really chill guy. And then around the same time that he started asking me that question, I went to a raw food dinner that was run by one of the teachers at the cafe and yoga studio that I did my teacher training at. And there was the owner of the yoga studio there, and who was also my teacher. And she mentioned that she was looking for someone to take over her cafe space.
Mm-hmm.
And she also said that she had stumbled across this blog that had a lot of really cool recipes on it. Maybe something like that would be suited to the space. And when she told me what the blog was, it was mine.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's really funny. And since then, you know, like, I'm a lot more attuned to synchronicity now because I've lived my life that way.
Yeah.
But back then I just thought, oh, that was really weird. That's my blog. And so she was like, you know, why don't you just start, like, making cakes in the kitchen and then selling them to restaurants and just doing it for fun? And I thought, sure, like, I've got a full-time job that looks after half the country. Like, it's not that bad. So I have a spare time. But I really loved it. So I did start doing that a little bit and started giving my cakes to places like Nourishing Quarter,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a vegan place in Surrey Hills.
Did you have to go through all the process of getting like the food safety and hygiene and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. I also, like, I did it as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like pretty simple. I just had to do the online course myself and then register an ABN.
Oh, so you don't, like, you don't need to have a kitchen lined up to do all that stuff first?
Definitely do legally, but back then I was so small, it was like I was just doing it from my kitchen.
Cool, yeah.
And don't want to get the client in trouble for that, by the way. So, like, they obviously didn't really need that from me either. It's up to the customer and the client, if they accept catering, to actually make sure that you've got everything that you need.
Yeah.
But that kitchen was certified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I thought
it was already a training cafe. So as long as I've got my food safety and I do it at a approved kitchen, then it's all good.
Cool.
So I started doing that, and then it wasn't long before the owner of that yoga studio just said, you know, you're so young, you might as well just like take over the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home and I told my partner, and I was like, you know, her name's Katie. I was like, oh, Katie said something really funny. Like, I'd never do it. It's so crazy. And then he was like, why don't you just do it? And I was like, no. Like, you're insane. You can't do that. I was so practical. And I was raised really practical as well, you know?
Mm, yeah.
And so that was the end of it. And then basically he quit his job. And he was like, was gonna do something awesome and go on an adventure and move overseas for 3 years anyway when I met you, so like, let's just do this, it'll be really cool, like, I'm not gonna go back to work, so we travel or we do this. And I was like, wow, like, you're insane.
Well, so, those options aren't bad, either one of them would have been great.
Yeah, and so I was like very much in my job, and I was doing quite well in my job as well. And so, and I had a very clear career path, and I'd started very young, and I had a lot of opportunities available to me. So it was a lot to kind of just push all of that aside and be like, you know what, like, I'm going to try something else,
mm-hmm.
Just because I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And within a month, I had, like, I put in my resignation straight away. Then, like, you know, within a month, we put all of our savings into building the first Sadhana, which was much smaller than the next two that we had. But that's how sadness started. So it wasn't really like I had sleepless nights or anything. It was more synchronicity with like being young and dumb.
So when you say that the cafe came up and was available, how much building did you have to do then? Or was it not already?
It was fine. It was there. But it definitely wasn't, like, equipped to handle the amount of people that we would get and the kind of prep that we needed to do. So for the first year and a half, it was very much like, holy crap, like, we didn't think we'd be this busy. We didn't think that this many people would care, and we certainly do not have the facilities to do what we need to do. So it was a lot of, like, hacking things together to make it work until we could grow. So, you know, but that's a result of a failure to plan. Like, we just didn't really understand what we were getting ourselves into at the time.
So, for the entirety of the kitchen, did you and your partners remain business partners?
No. Okay. So we stayed together as a couple and as business partners for a year and a half. And then I bought him out. And he went and traveled overseas, and we broke up. He's still one of my, like, I regard him as one of my best friends to this day. He's such a wonderful, wonderful person. And, yeah, so he just ended up following his dreams that he always wanted to follow, you know. And a lot of sadhana was him being interested in the movement, because he's still vegan today and obviously wanting to do something awesome. But he also understood that, like, it was my life, you know, like I made it my life and I kind of had to if I was going to make it work, and that's just not really what he signed up for. And so he was like, you're killing it, you love this, you love working ridiculous hours all of the time. And he was like, I never wanted this life, so like, I feel like I've helped you, and like, now we've got to go our separate ways.
Well, that's the ideal way that you want things to end.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal person. Definitely the most functional relationship I've ever been in, that's for sure. So, yeah, so that's how it was.
So, tell me about what was the ethos behind the menu, and where you sourced produce and how you prepared food. I mean, from the ground up, sort of, how did you make choices about these things?
Well, I guess I kind of just did it in alignment with what my own values were and what I felt like I wanted to share with customers, which was for things to be organic and as locally sourced as possible. Like, we got an heirloom organic specialist gardener to build us our own heirloom organic garden.
Fabulous.
We did whatever we could from that. I used Eco Farms, which is the largest organic produce supplier in Australia. You know, we would use companies like Honest to Goodness and Loving Earth, so we could make sure that we had high quality organic dry goods as well. And then, like, I kind of just had to figure that out on the way, you know. Like,
did you have a bit of a relationship with any of them through the blog?
No. It wasn't, blogging wasn't like that back then. You know, now you can monetize anything and kind of like become your own business just by creating and developing recipes.
Well, if you're savvy, not like me, I've been blogging for 12 years and I don't make a cent out of it.
You don't really want to, you know, and you have to be willing to do what it takes to do that as well. And if it's just a passion, then it's not really going to be something that you put very much energy into. So no, I had zero existing relationships or zero clue how to run a hospitality business by any when I started. But I just kind of figured it out because I had to. And in terms of like the creative aspect and the menu creation, that was easy because I just love making recipes and developing recipes. That was something that always came natural to me, and that was the thing that I enjoyed the most. And it's still the thing that I enjoy the most to this day.
So what were some of your favorite meals from Sadhana Kitchen?
It's probably like the customers' favorites as well.
Yeah,
evolved over time to incorporate more cooked foods, especially when we opened up in places like Bondi, where we kind of had to be a little bit more general in our offerings to be able to survive and thrive. But you know, people consistently still ask for the tacos and the lasagna, which are raw tacos and raw lasagna. It's hilarious. Like, I don't even know the last time that I've eaten the raw lasagna. Like, it's been years.
So what was a raw lasagna? What did that entail?
It is mandolin zucchini with a cashew sage cream cheese, or bechamel, like however you want to refer to it, mm-hmm. a walnut bolognese, and a basil pesto. And it was amazing.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, and because it was so different to what people had ever had before, but it was still incredibly tasty and had all these amazing textures. I think it kind of like, you know, people had a taste for it, couldn't get it anywhere else, and kind of became obsessed with it. So it's funny, most of my staff are like, this is amazing. And after about 6 months, they're like, please do not give me a lasagna ever again. Going cycles. Like, that's always how it is. Like, I used to eat a dish every single day for like 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and then get over it and then try something else. It was just going.
Yeah, I totally do the same thing. And I have the guilt every day of going, you ate this yesterday. You've got to change. But if you crave something, you just do it.
Yeah, 100%.
So was closing the business a sad choice for you, and would you consider opening another venue in the future?
Well, I guess to be honest, there's obviously an element of sadness to it. Like, the main things with Sardino is that it became no longer sustainable as a business. Like, our expenses were getting really high, and then we just kind of weren't growing and evolving enough to be able to be profitable, you know? And that's hard, like, for anyone that's running a business, and especially if it's something that you're so passionate about, to kind of accept. But thankfully, a lot of the work that I do with myself is to kind of be at peace with the way that things are, to accept what I'm responsible for and to improve on what I need to and to grow from what I need to, and then also to kind of find, like, the goodness and the lesson in everything. So it was sad primarily because I really loved that space, and I know a lot of people did as well, and it was like a hub for the community, and I love the fact that people could go there and there was no other choices for them but to eat plant-based organic whole foods.
Yeah, you know, I love that too.
That's possible. So I was sad that there was one less place like that available. And also that I wouldn't be able to just go in and eat whatever I wanted every single day.
I bet you still do, though.
I make myself now. However, I would say I'm more grateful than I am sad. Mm-hmm. And would I ever open another place again? It would really have to have very specific circumstances for me to consider it. I trust that there are like a bunch of awesome people out there, operators with lots of experience in the industry, and also with like the fluctuating market. I'd have to feel really comfortable that the model was geared for long-term success, and that's like a business aspect, you know. And also I would have to make sure as well that, like, at that point in my life, if something like that was to ever be possible, that that's what I wanted. Because you have to really put so much of yourself into anything that you want to succeed and thrive. Otherwise, it's not going to go anywhere.
Definitely. So on that note, I mean, what other companies and brands in Australia are doing really good things in the raw and vegan food space?
Oh, my God, so many now, which is amazing. So the guys over at Amazonia, my friend Dwayne, she founded it ages ago in regards, like, in terms of selling acai. He was, like, one of the first people to really, you know, start selling acai in the Australian market. Sourced it straight from the Amazon, and now they've got a whole range of raw and vegan health products, like proteins and probiotics and like healthy whole food based supplements, which
is amazing. I've seen them.
So they're amazing, and he's phenomenal, phenomenal guy. And what else? There are other places that are local, you know, in Sydney. Gigi's Pizza is a phenomenal restaurant, like hands down the best pizza that you could get in Sydney, whether it's vegan or not, and it happens to be vegan. They've even got the certification of authenticity that you can only get from Napoli.
Oh, wow.
Like an association that says that you make authentic pizza, and there's like all these rules, like you have to have, use certain flours and have like a certain type of oven, and they have kept their certification after turning vegan. So that whole group of people, amazing people behind it, they're like a family. They turned their incredibly successful restaurant vegan despite announcing it to a lot of backlash. And now they're busy every night, lines out the door, probably busier than they ever were before. So that's like amazing that people are doing that. What else? So many vegan places. One of the coolest places in Sydney is Earth to Table, which is a raw vegan and organic eatery in Bondi Junction.
Yeah, I think I've seen them on social media.
Yeah, so Julie is the chef and founder, and she's amazing. She's been doing raw food forever, like way before anybody else was. Mm-hmm. And she started off by making cakes and stuff as well, and then eventually opening her cafe. And that's one of the, like, that's probably one of the places that I actually can eat if I go out and eat. And a similar place to that is Shokuiku.
Yes, that's just down the road from me, down in Northgate.
Amazing. She's a phenomenal woman, makes the best stuff, like really medicinal, like actually so authentic in the recipes that she makes as well. My friend Mason from Superfeast, who founded Superfeast around the same time we started Sardina, and he's probably one of the largest distributors of medicinal, like, mushrooms. Mm. So things like lion's mane, reishi chaga. He really is, like, to me, like the superfood guru, you know?
He was into
all of that kind of stuff way before anyone knew what it was.
Is Superfeast in Melbourne?
Superfeast is based in Byron Bay, actually, but they distribute their products all around Australia.
Cool.
As well. So they're in like this really beautiful glass packaging with a blue logo. You can find them at a lot of health food stores. And yeah, like those types of mushrooms and things like Shivandra berry and, you know, having teas that are on a base of things like pao de arco and cat's claw tea have been a staple of like my diet and how I eat ever since I met Mace, because I know what the benefits are. They're like adaptogenic herbs that basically help your body deal with the stresses of the environment.
Yeah, look, I'm a big fan. I've tried, you know that surfer Laird Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah, he started his own line of, like, superfood supplements, and he does an ashwagandha supplement. So, yeah, big fan. But, wow, I hadn't heard of Superfeast, so that's exciting.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. So there's lots of really, really cool brands doing and businesses doing great work in the space, and so many more people that are becoming interested in this stuff as well.
Definitely.
Which is what you want to see.
So the next thing I wanted to ask then, I mean, because there is a growing interest in eating vegan for health and ethical reasons, I mean, what do you want people to know when they're new to eating vegan, in terms of how to make sure they get all the nutrients they need, how to feel satiated?
You know, like with anything that we do to take care of ourselves, it's best to be as informed as possible. There's some really cool vegan nutritionists that are out there right now, plant-based nutritionists, which is always a really good place to start, because, you know, why not go deal with an expert?
Yeah.
Because a lot of us don't really know that what we eat is so much intuition if we're not addicted to things that are terrible for us.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's good to have a grounding in, like, the knowledge that, like, we need to hit certain macronutrients and micronutrient requirements every day to really thrive, for, like, the machine of our body to be healthy. you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I always recommend that people will see, if they're trying to transition into a vegan lifestyle, to see a plant-based nutritionist if they can. And also, in addition to that, just read widely. Like, a lot of the things that I try on myself, I've read a lot about. And I always try it on myself, you know, before I do it with anything else and with anybody else. And to make sure that I feel good, to make sure I thrive. And sadhana means conscious spiritual practice. So one of the main goals of Sadhana Kitchen was to connect people to their inherent wisdom, especially when it came to food. Mm-hmm. So once we eliminate what our addictions are, to things like processed food, refined sugars, all of this stuff that people have passed on as food, mm-hmm. passed off as food for so long. Once we clear that out of our system, then we actually start to crave what we need, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal. So then you can rely on your intuition to choose what kind of foods you should be eating as well.
Yeah, I guess it's an education in itself. Like,
yeah. And then lastly as well, just make sure you test your bloods, because I do that. I just actually tested my, went in for a full blood count and stuff like that in the last 2 days, because it's important to understand that you are, like, you know, meeting all of the requirements of your body. And I recommend that whether you're vegan or not.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. So I guess on that note, you've previously sort of advocated a high carb diet with the raw vegan plant meals, that are really rich in whole food carbs. And now you are, you're a big proponent of Veto, which is the ketogenic high protein, low carb diet, that fitness people love. However, you've done that in a vegan way. I guess what I'm asking though is it important to be adaptable and to ensure that you're not having that sort of one-eyed, determined, this is how I eat sort of approach?
100%. So with myself, because I try everything on myself, I often do the most extreme form of something to test what the effects are like. And I'm happy to do that on myself, but I've been doing it for a very long time because I, you know, I track things very closely. I check my bloods. I see the doctors. I do it with guidance. However, I wouldn't recommend that that's how somebody lives their daily life, you know. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to food, I think that there needs to be a really good balance between having the awareness of what your body needs, so the knowledge to support it, mm-hmm. But then also to be able to be intuitive in making your decisions, to be able to trust yourself and not become obsessive and, like you said, one-eyed about things.
Yeah.
Because then you'll never really be open to different ways of being. Like, raw foods are something that are so important and that I really still love and appreciate, but I've changed the way that I eat according to what I've needed at the time. And Veto was something I was just really interested in because I read a lot about the ketogenic diet that was horrified about the type of foods that you were actually eating.
Yeah, I've got to say, the first thing that I think of when I think of ketogenic is just meat on meat with eggs.
Meat on meat with dairy.
Yeah.
And so what I did was try to create something that was accessible to a lot more people, that was filled with organic plant-based whole foods, that was going to be a lot more nutrient dense, a lot less, like, gross, for lack of a better word, and damaging to the body. And so I've been working on that, and that's why a lot of my recipes are that way inclined. But as to whether anything is really good for somebody long term, really feel like adaptability and consistently, you know, building on your knowledge and building on your awareness and cultivating your intuition, it's the best thing that you could do for your health. Because things change, your life will change. The circumstances of your life will change. Your body will change. You will age. And what you need will consistently evolve. And you got to be open enough to have that happen.
I love that. That's very wise. So I guess, last of all, can you tell me where people can find your recipes? Because at the moment you're putting up a lot of Veto recipes on your blog, and you've got several social channels. And I think you've got a TV channel as well. So tell me about that.
Okay, so we've got the main places that you can get my recipes are sardinakitchen.com and mazvalcorza.com under recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those /recipes. Usually publish a recipe every week to 2 weeks on those channels. I've got a couple of books. So there's one called Uncooked, and then there's another one called The Naked Vegan.
I love The Naked Vegan. I love it. Even when I have been moving house and I cannot possibly take things with me, everything goes, but never that book. Oh, it's been everywhere with me. Look, I loved it. I read it, and my story with raw food is that I discovered it in Bali, and I was thrilled that I'd already been eating in that sort of way, but it hadn't really occurred to me that it was a thing. But I certainly hadn't been doing the sort of incredibly creative things that they were doing with raw food. Mine was pretty boring. But to see the sort of textures and food that you can make with raw was mind-blowing. So to read your book and how much excitement and you obviously got from creating things, you know, that made me excited about it as well.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I'm glad that enthusiasm is infectious. Thank you so much. That's basically, like, there was a lot of joy in that book. And yeah, like, do you know, the recipes themselves, like, some of them are really easy, but some of them are a little bit difficult for people, especially if they don't have a grounding in raw food. But I really wanted to show what was possible. Like, I just didn't want another raw food that was just spiralized zucchini, you know, raw food book with just spiralized zucchini. I wanted to be like, you can eat this way and, like, literally not miss out on anything.
Absolutely.
And so there's 140 plus recipes in that book, so that's another place that you can get recipes. And I'm constantly developing recipes as well. And, you know, I'll be sharing recipes that aren't just vegan and keto too. I'll be sharing some more raw food recipes and some just generally awesome vegan recipes as well through my channels. Mm-hmm. So those are the main places that you can grab my recipes. Sometimes I do guest spots on other people's businesses and networks. Like, I'm developing recipes for Hemp Food Australia at the moment, so you can get my recipes there. But we always share where we can get those recipes, where you can access those recipes from. And I also run workshops as well.
So are you running workshops in Melbourne?
Seeing people in Melbourne.
Sorry, Maz, you're starting to cut out a little bit. Hello.
Hello?
Yep. I think we're good. Are you running workshops in Melbourne?
I hope to be. So I just need to find a venue because my workshops are quite interactive. And so I need to find a cooking school that is as good as the one I have here in Sydney, which basically has, like, the most ridiculous setup known to man. Everybody gets their own oven, everybody gets their own standing mixers. Like, it's phenomenal.
So is that a space that you rent out just for workshops?
Yeah, so it's called Vive. The owner of it is a friend of mine. His name is Jean-Luc, and he's really, really cool. He works in it with his wife. And, yeah, it's probably one of the most beautiful cooking spaces that I've ever, ever seen, really, and the most functional for somebody like me who wants to run demos. Mm-hmm. And so if I can find something like that in other states, then I'll definitely run my workshops. That's basically my only limiting factor.
Okay, well, I will let you go, but you have been very generous with your time and with your energy with me today, so thank you so much for talking to me.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kat.